Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Atlanta, what's going on? It's Dukes and Bell live from Flowery Branch. It's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. Mike Bell, we are getting a chance today to talk to our head football coach, Raheem Morris, who, again, I thought the most interesting thing he said about this win was, I expect these guys to do this all the time. I don't think this was a big deal considering the circumstances, when, in fact, statistically, it tells us it was a big deal to come back and win.
Yeah, Coach Rod may downplay. We'll bust his chops on that around 6:15. But, yeah, I mean, especially for the organization, you know. To the things that we've gone through, and some of these players have been here for a long time, like Grady Jarrett, like Jake Matthews, and then you got some newer players that don't know all the, you know, the misery that Falcon fans have gone through. But that's a win for the ages, man. But again, doesn't mean anything if you go out and lose two of the next three. So we got to build on it.
Got to build on it. We'll talk to Darnell Mooney as well coming up on the show. He had a really good game. And again, sometimes it's not when you catch balls, or not when, how many balls you catch, right, but when you catch them. And I thought the balls he caught in the fourth quarter were huge, setting up the game-winning drive, and we'll get his opinions, man, on, you know, Mike, was that stuff wide open? Was he running routes that were designed, or was he running to open spots on the field?
Well, I mean, a combination of that, with whatever the Eagles are doing, as we said on yesterday's show, that's a them problem. I mean, they were soft as Charmin. They didn't tighten it up, and I know they're trying to keep things off to the sidelines, I guess, or you're trying to keep it away, trying to get funnel things to the middle of the field. None of that worked at all for the Eagles, other than the catch to Pitts, and that was still plenty of time for us to get down the field and get the touchdown. But, you know, they always say, at least certainly the Mannings did along with Matt Ryan, everybody's by now has seen that audio from the Manning cast, that when you get into that 2-minute drill, things are more simplified. You're going back to all the plays that you've run,
yeah,
the plays that everybody knows. And so sometimes, in some cases, for a new player and a new offensive coordinator, it's maybe a bit easier to run. And we look better doing it than we did maybe our base offense.
The good news is heading into Sunday, and I'll be talking a lot about this, the Falcons have allowed the 7th fewest passing yards in the NFL. Now, that's good from the standpoint of you're about to see Patrick Mahomes. Now, again, no Pacheco. We know that's a big deal. But let's just put it out there, Mike. This guy finds ways to win, right? Mahomes, it doesn't matter who you put out there on the field with him. But the fact that we're limiting teams, at least in our first two games, and we are top 10 when it comes to fewest passing yards, is a good sign for the defense. But it also tells us what we already knew. Atlanta, we knew this secondary. Once we added Justin, was going to be a strength. And that is what you're seeing with these two safeties in the corner and A.J. Terrell. I just think, Mike, that is something that we can build on, and we're going to need all of that going into Sunday, man.
Right now, I mean, a critic, I guess you want to be devil's advocate, you could say, well, you know, Fields, that game plan was going to be very pedestrian in the fill-in role for Russell Wilson. But again, the stats are the stats. We still feel much better about our passing defense than we have in years past. I know that they're still waiting to get, you know, some of their weapons back, like Hollywood Brown and Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He's out, but Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy. I mean, you got to figure Andy Reid's going to come up with something to get Xavier Worthy the ball in some space or to create a mismatch and use that speed.
No doubt. 404-726-0929. It's our Solomon Brothers, or should I say our text line. You can text us. You can also find us at Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes in this radio show. Dukes and Bell, 929. Follow the radio station at 929 The Game, guys. Stay up on everything that's going on in the world of sports. Now, Mike and I, we're here until about 6:30 tonight because we do have Atlanta United coming up at 6:30, Mike. Miami tonight?
Yeah, they say Messi's going to make the trip, and maybe he'll wave to the fans. Be nice if he actually played, but as we know, a lot of the elite players, especially in advanced ages like Messi, have an aversion to playing on field turf, so, you know, we can only hope, but he is apparently making the trip. Tata, though, I think, was it red card accumulation? Is that what it is? So Tata, I guess you won't get to see our former championship coach.
All right, that's tonight, 6:30. We will get Coach Ra later in the show, so if you're saying, Dukes, about what time? Usually Coach Ra joins us earlier in the program. program, but tonight it's going to be a little bit later because they've adjusted their practice schedule again with the turnaround and all that's going on. So he will be here at around 6:15. Okay, 6:15, we'll get a chance to talk to Raheem Morris. Mike, let's talk a little bit about what's going on with the Braves. Here's my not just my theory now. This is kind of my analysis of what the Braves are and what this might ultimately be. The core group, Michael Harris, Ozzie, Ronald, Strider, Riley, Olson, Sean Murphy, all have long-term deals. They're all coming back. They'll all be here next year. But we have been without, we know, Acuna and Strider, Harris for a long stretch, Ozzie is out, Riley has been hurt. And I just think when you talk about the core group, and I'm not going to sit here and make excuses. Last night was inexcusable. You're up 5-1 in the fourth. You end up blowing it. It was a bad look. But, Mike, the core group has not been there all year.
No.
And I think when I say I'd love to see this team get into the playoffs, I've always talked about this. I want to see all of our teams be successful and get to the playoffs. But the reality is, guys, these are the guys we were counting on, and they have not all been there for long stretches of time.
No, I mean, it's one thing in 2021. We talked about this all summer long, guys. In 2021, you still had Freddie Freeman at first, Austin Riley, Dansby on a great year, and Ozzie Albies. You know, you replaced Ronald Acuna. And, yes, you missed other guys like Darno. Other pieces were out. But this is completely different where this year, in almost the core of your roster was gutted due to injury. Just so Ozzie hit a home run for the Stripers. All right, let's go. He's ready. I've seen enough. Let's go. You know, if he can do that in the minors, I've never understood the whole concept of it. Let's go. And if it feels like a strain, if he can produce, Carl, get some RBIs, and you can rest him if you get a lead. But you saw it last night. You just got guys, and I know we have fun with the sound bites. They're journeymen. These guys are guys that were released. These guys who were claimed off of waivers.
Bumps.
These are
Bumps.
Dudes that they're all glove, no stick.
Bumps.
Okay, that's it.
Yeah.
That you can't expect those guys to hit like, you know, like your stars. And the worst part of this, Marcell Ozuna hasn't hit a home run in like 3 weeks. You know, so now he's cooled off in the slugging department. Bullpen has been pretty good all summer long, and then the bullpen took a dump last night.
Yeah, the numbers are staggering with Ozuna, but I'm going to give him a break because he's carried his damn team all season.
I'm not picking on him. I'm just saying one of the guys that's been that like standard is just not hitting it like he used to.
So the craziness is, to Mike's point, his last home run came to he hadn't hit one in the last 26 games.
Right.
That's forever. That's forever.
That's then an eternity for Major League Baseball.
It is, man, when you play every day. And then you say, okay, great, he's not hitting home runs, but he's driving in runs, right? How many RBI does he have? He hadn't had an RBI and driven in a run in his last 19 games.
Yeah. So that's it. One of your bread-and-butter guys who's had you on his shoulders this entire season, now, unfortunately, like Matt Olson 2 years ago, is now kind of hitting, I can't crap on it, but it's just further evidence the gods are not on our side this year, the baseball gods.
Yeah, and Mike, I would just simply say, if you're Ozuna, he's tired.
Right.
It's time for somebody else. See, normally what would happen if our core was here in its whole, right? Harris, Ozzie, Acuna, Rod, everybody was healthy. Somebody else would take the mound. They would step up. But right now, he's like, dude, I'm a little beat. I'm a little beat down right now.
Now, the other thing, it's brutal. I heard Sandra talking about it today on the Steakhouse, Sandra Golden. The where they really blew it, I saw some stuff on, again, some Braves fans are just clueless. You're blaming Snicker? Yes, there's always, Carl, over 162 games, you could say, yes, he left Morton in too long against the Phillies or this or that. But you look at where the Braves have lost this. If they lose the wild card, in addition to losing the division, it's how poorly they played against the worst teams in the league.
Yeah, and by the way, we're going to lose the wild card.
Correct.
I just feel that way.
I mean, well,
guys,
you want to be.
I just feel that way.
At least one game in hand against the Mets, you know, one game back so you can flip it in those three at Citi Field. But you were crap against the Nationals, crap against the Reds, crap against the White Sox. You lost that game in Colorado. There's just a bunch of moments this year where you had inferior opponents, even with journeymen, that you couldn't beat.
Yeah, I just get back to the Jims and Joes, right?
Right.
Ultimately, the year we won the World Series, Snit was great. Part of it was, yes, he managed correctly. But he had guys that came through in big moments.
And the infield was healthy.
You can't ask him to do anything more with a team that doesn't score. Mm-hmm. Have you guys seen our average runs that we've scored over the course of this season? It's embarrassing. So the fact is we all want to compare the 21 team to this team. It's not that.
I mean,
we are just not that.
The one number.
Even last year.
No, I gave it to Grant. Yesterday we were talking to Grant. Well, he'll be out, as you said, at 540. Last year, Carl, the Braves had more RBIs than anybody by a long shot. They're 17th in RBIs this year in all of the majors. That's all you need to know, guys. That's it. You're going to blame Snicker on that? Come on, that's silly.
Last night specifically, Braves lose 6-5. Reds come back. They blow a 4-run lead. Bottom line is, this gets back to where we are and who we are. Guys, it's September. This is who we are.
14 men left on base.
2 for 9, runners in scoring position. And yes, you left 14 on base. That's who we are. That's what this has been. Position to score. Who's driving them in? Nobody comes up with a big hit. Oh, well, here comes Ozuna. Well, if he doesn't do it, who does it?
Right.
This is what we've been. So last night was a surprise only because I thought we were going to win that game. But Pierce Johnson and Chavez, they struggled. I mean, this is just where we're at.
Right. Again.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first 3 grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And you got your stars that are missing. Olsen's batting 239. He had a monster. He had a career year last year. He's back to his baseball card. Arcia can't hit. Let's call it what it is. He had 2 hits last night, but he's batting 220. You're just not getting production from anybody. And you just touched on this with, you know, with Marcelo Ozuna, who just the law of averages finally caught up to him with the average.
What do you guys think? Do we want them to be in the playoffs? Duh.
Of course. I mean, this isn't like the NFL where like everybody cares about, where are we drafting next year? Who cares? You want to get in the tournament, and you still have some really good pitching with Chris Sale and Ronaldo Lopez and hopefully Fried, Schwellenbach you like. But yeah, you can get in there. You got a puncher's chance, but it just, you know, you have to be a 2-1 and 3-2 game the way we're hitting.
Like the way we're playing, right? No doubt. The good news is, and again, you know, it's not time to look to next year. We still got a few more games, but the reality is the core will be back, and that's why right. I bring that up. We're still a very good club, and we will be for a very long time because all of these guys are locked up.
Right.
The question marks become, how soon is Acuna ready, and how soon is Strider back to being Strider? Outside of that, we know they're coming back. And I think, Mike, you said it, the chance thing, right? You're rolling the dice. Does what happened this year to this team from an injury standpoint, what is the likelihood of it happening next year?
Well, I mean, where's Acuna's career going to go? I mean, Ronald Acuna, is he going to be a slow start? Do you just expect, you know, Ronald to show up at Northport and just start raking? I mean,
I think his projection is DH, Mike.
How does he change the approach? Are you trying to steal bases less
Absolutely.
Moving forward with him?
I do.
You take away a big part of his game, though. That's the thing.
Listen, we're seeing what Ohtani's doing, right? Ohtani's about to be the first full-time DH MVP.
50-50, man.
Okay.
Getting there.
That's what Acuna could potentially be. You take the stress off of him playing in the outfield. I think that's the projection. I don't know how soon that happens, but that's where it's going to go. Braves lose last night. We'll see what happens tonight. Schwellenbach on the hill as they continue to grind and hopefully try to get into the playoffs. We're coming back. We got plenty more to get to. This hour is brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. We're live at Flowery Branch. Headlines, including UGA off week before Bama. If they don't get things right, this could be ugly. Kirby was talking about it. We'll get into that as well. Stay right there. It's Dukes and Bell. Live at Flowery Branch, it's Dukes and Bell. There's been some discussion this week, which I think is silly, about whether or not the Eagles lost the game or the Falcons took the game. I want you to hear Shannon Sharpe talk about this.
Did the Patriots take Super Bowl 51? At the end of the day, somebody won it.
This is Sharpe. And it's that simple. I mean, we only play that to say if there's any other explanation or opinion about it, it's dumb. We were down, had an opportunity to win. We didn't choke it away.
We had a lead. We had a lead late in the game.
It was ours to go get, Mike. Right. It's not like the Eagles just laid down on the field and said, y'all go ahead and drive the field, man.
No, look, Sirianni's got some moments that he's got to take and look back and say, maybe I should have just kicked the field goal and take the points early on. That's on them. Look, they're a team. We said this earlier. I know the perception of us ever since Super Bowl 51 is that we're not clutch and we choke. And some of that has been self-fulfilling. We just, either because of bad quarterback play or whatever, sure, we just can't handle our water. We think that worm has turned with Kirk Cousins and the things we've done on defense. But you're right. I think Philly, if you want to talk about a team right now that has an albatross around their neck about not handling the big moments since last season when they were the number one seed, it's the Eagles. And their fans know it.
Yeah. Sirianni, by the way, is even more convicted in his late game strategy against the Falcons.
He should be convicted, all right.
I guess convinced. I don't know, right, man. I thought it was a mistake. I talked about it yesterday. You know, I thought Ra's late game clock management was great, and I did not feel like Nick Sirianni helped his team early or late in the game.
Now, we go for it again. It's a tale of two going forward on fourths. Ours was certainly a momentum because you saw the way the Eagles were getting momentum with Saquon Barkley with their drive. So they said, you know what, fourth and four, we go for it. Took a while for that play to develop, but we moved the chains. That was a ball. Can't wait to talk to Coach Rob about that later today.
Sirianni, by the way, since we're talking about this, and I want you to hear Dan Orlovsky coming up. It's Dukes and Bell live at Flyer Branch, guys, hanging out today as we will and do frequently every week up here. Sometimes it's Thursdays, depending on the schedules. This week, it's Wednesday. We got a Sunday night game. He said it's the business that we chose. And he's talking about making these decisions and having to live with them. But he says, I was completely convinced that kicking the field goal there was the right decision based on all my studies. Now, coaches will tell you, they'll sit down, they'll talk about all these different things with guys. And ultimately, Mike, you do have to make the decision in the game.
Right.
But there are probably, for every scenario, there's six ways you could go about it, right? First, if down in distance, where you're at on the field, all these different things that play into it. But Monday night, he says, Falcons were at the Falcons 10-yard line. They throw a pass to Saquon Barkley. Obviously, it's third and three, right? My thought there was Saquon was getting five a pop. You could have probably ran the ball, but that's not my decision. And then, obviously, he drops the ball and we get the ball back. But he's saying everything in his blood or everything that he studied, you know, has said basically that that was the right call. And he doesn't, you know, he's not going to debate that he made the wrong call there to go for it and make that pass to Saquon. Either way, you know, Mike, if it works, maybe we're talking about something different. It didn't. And so now he's catching a lot of heat. I just feel like, for their situation and what I saw, everybody talks about this. We've seen it with our last three coaches. Dan Quinn, not great clock management.
No.
We saw it. We saw it with Coach Art, right? He had issues.
Struggled. Too many things, too many moving parts for him to manage everything, including the clock.
We're two games in, on the road, down, and I just saw our guy, the new guy, handle that situation probably as well as you possibly could.
With poise.
With
poise. Right. And then we talked about the one stop. We go for it on fourth. Look, their good defensive line finally made a big play and just kind of whooped us on the right side of the line. We couldn't get it. But I just think when you take a situation where, all right, maybe you feel, I mean, nobody on the sideline, maybe in years past, I don't want to like point fingers, but sometimes it's human nature. Well, we let another one wriggle off. There was no quit in this team.
Yeah.
They got the opportunity. You know, they kicked the field goal. We take it right down. And certainly, if you want to talk about the Eagles, talk to their coach. That's why folks felt Vic Fangio lost his fastball in Denver, certainly lost his fastball in Miami, and now can't hit anything in Philadelphia. But that's on them because they go through assistant coaches like Sox. They've replaced all three assistants 3 years in a row in Philly. So all that adds up to what you maybe saw against us, them problem.
It is a them problem. And I'll tell you the bigger them problem, I think Jalen Hurts has regressed. I just do.
He at the moment, you know, he's got a moment where he's got to learn just to, you know, throw away. You still had a lot of time, but you know they had a timeout to work with. He just forced it. He just totally forces that throw.
To your point about the coordinator, Mike, the guy that helped them get to the Super Bowl is not there anymore.
Those two are gone.
Okay,
one's in Arizona and one's in Indy.
Correct. And when he was there, Jalen was a different guy and an MVP candidate. And that's why they went to the Super Bowl. I'm just telling you, I feel like he's regressed. And whatever's going on between him and Sirianni, maybe that explodes throughout the course of the season. Mm. But that's to me, that's the more of the concern. At the end of the game, again, I know you're trying to make a play, but got to give your team a chance. That's why I love what Kirk did for us. Right. He gave us a chance. He's just not throwing Aaron balls into coverage and going, all right, somebody go make a play.
No, I mean, look, I can't wait to ask Darnell, because Darnell, I mean, first off, that the post that goes for the score where the Eagle bites and he fakes him out of his jock and gets in the end zone. You know, Kirk almost had another throw where if Darnell keeps running that route, perhaps he takes it to the house. Remember that one where I don't think anybody in the stadium, let alone Darnell, thought that Cousins could get the ball there.
I agree.
That 40-yard throw in the air they had to step into. But Kirk was, what do you want to talk about, adrenaline or sure will, and then how low-key he was. Just blew us away when we heard the soundbite yesterday. I know, a lot of things I got to work on. It's one of the greatest freaking wins in franchise history.
It is Dukes and Bell, guys. Hit us up. Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up, C Dukes. And again, the radio show, Dukes and Bell 929. Now, is it too early for us to be talking about us being a contender? Now, when I say that, we know there are two teams in our division that are 2-0. We're 1-1. But is it too early, as you look at the NFC, to believe, okay, we can put that kind of effort together. Be more consistent offensively, Mike.
Right.
Are we a contender? Dan Orlovsky answered that question about the Falcons. Listen to this.
Really good play-action passing quarterback. Two, I think it's a really good, to AQ's point, really good offensive line when it comes to that zone scheme. And then three, they've got the pieces that should excel in this offense. I feel all offseason I've said, hey, Drake London is going to be a breakout star. Bijan Robinson is going to play like Todd Gurley in this offense that he did for the Rams when Sean McVay got there. I've always thought that that defense, now that they've added Bates in 1 year and Simmons in the next year, Terrell is awesome. So, like, I think that they're a very, very good football team if they play style-wise what they were last night. And I would think moving forward they will.
I mean, you've had a chance, you know, we've sort of been drafting in the middle of the first round or the top 10 the last couple of years, you guys know.
Sure.
You know, if you get it right, that should add up to a lot of talent that's ready to go with a turnkey quarterback, which is what we have. I just think the first week you got to throw that out. It was just an extension of maybe the rust from the preseason and the fact that Kirk, they were trying to maybe try to play around his injury and try to modify what they're doing. What we did on Monday night, that's what we should look like every freaking game. But getting back to Orlovsky's point, we got some dudes, brother, and a win like that shows you when the chips are down, you've got a guy that can actually get you out of trouble. We haven't had that in 3 years.
No, we haven't. And I do agree with everything he's saying. Now, it doesn't mean it's going to happen, but we have the makeup. That's what he's talking
about. If Kirk Cousins plays like that and our defense plays like that,
yes,
we should be in every game this year. That's the key. The toughest parts of the schedule are right here. You know, the Steelers, we always felt the physicality of the Steelers and TJ Watt. What we saw up in Philadelphia, we overcame it. And now we get the Chiefs and the defending champs and all the things that Mahomes is going to try to do with all those skill position players. This was always going to be the truest test. I mean, we still have, Carl, the easiest schedule in the league with a team which might be built to make a move.
No, that's true. I mean, we hadn't even talked about the extent of the schedule just because the start is so difficult.
Right.
And I'll be honest, I did not expect to see the Saints come out the way they have. Now, maybe that's an illusion, and I certainly didn't expect the Bucks to come out. The Bucks went on the road and beat the Lions, man. That's a good win.
And Baker's looking, I think Baker's in his first freaking happy place.
I agree.
You know, where he's got a contract that he knows he's the man. No one's over his shoulder. No one's sniping at him. He's been living like a gypsy basically the last 3 years. Now he's got a home. And then, you know, as far as Clint Kubiak, we talked about him yesterday at length. You know, if it's off the Kubiak-Shanahan tree, it's generally pretty good things, brother. He's doing a nice job with Carr.
Well, again, and give Carr some credit, man. I mean, he's been consistent as well. I mean, the thing is, I think people forgot this. The last 8 games last year for New Orleans, he was really good. He didn't start well. And that's why they were behind the 8-ball and struggling to get into the playoffs. And 7-9 like us, he felt like they needed to get off to a great start. He locked in this offseason. And that is one of the things he's talked about. I give him credit for that. But listen, we'll worry about the Saints here in a couple of weeks. My point is, Dan Orlovsky is right. We have the ingredients. Are we going to be able to maneuver this
right
and become a real contender? And, Mike, by the way, it doesn't take long. Just like we're talking about these 0-2 teams, hell, 3 weeks from now, we're going to be talking about teams like, hey, they look the part.
Right, and this is not the NBA where it takes, like, if you get it wrong, a decade to fix it. We've seen this division. We've seen this Falcons team go from a 500 team in 15 to the Super Bowl.
That's right.
You know, and last year we had 2 years in a row, 7-10. You know, we could have won the division 2 years in a row with Derek Carr, with average quarterback play, but we didn't have it. So now we've got a guy. We just had to take our lumps in week one because he's still coming off the Achilles, and I think the OC was finding his way. But, man – That's a hell of a win. If that doesn't give you a sense of confidence as a Falcon fan or feel that, hey, we're going to be in some of these games, regardless of what we do these first four, it's a long season, man. We win 11 games, we're gone. We're going to the playoffs.
It's a long season. Headlines brought to you by our friends at ATL Live Well. Don't just live, live well. By the way, as we said, UGA is off. We're going to talk more about this at 4. But
got to get over those slow starts, man.
Well, that's the key. I mean, you got to score points, Mike. I mean, they didn't score any points early, and I think the confidence kind of dwindled. And now you find yourself in a game, and now they found a way to get it done. I just feel like better teams that they're going to face, especially over the next 4 weeks, right, including Texas and Alabama, you got to find a way to get a better start. But I found this interesting, too, because Kirby was asked today, and I just want to bring this up because we've all been saying, what is he doing? What are they going to do? Connor Riley put this out there talking about Trevor Etienne and the driving situation.
Right.
And Etienne said, I've told my teammates it was a mistake. I hope we can all learn from it. Hope we can move forward. But it ain't worth it. And Kirby was asked about the latest situation, Mike, where, you know, he had a player suspended for that Kentucky game. Right. They had three guys on defense that were in question. That was part of this whole makeup of the what was going to happen last Saturday. Long story short, Kirby's like, look, we're doing everything we can. These guys are making bad decisions. I believe him. After all that's happened and you've had deaths and you had
right.
– are you going to sit here and tell me that Kirby and his staff are not pounding these guys with do not speed, do not do this, do not drive reckless.
Right.
I think, Mike, at some point you got 19, 20, 21-year-old kids making bad decisions.
No, I mean, you would think that when you have a tragedy like what happened, you know, back in 23, you know, when you lose two young people in the prime of their lives in Devin Willick and Chandler LaCroix, that should mean something. That should resonate. But again, guys, you know, not everybody goes to college who plays college football is really that sharp, you know, and I think that's why, you know, everybody in the media wants to, you know, get into this. Can we just call it what it is? Think about some of the decisions you made when you were 18 and 19.
Sure.
God knows, I got kicked out of Florida State. You know how hard it is to get kicked out of Florida State? I mean, I'm just, it's very hard. But the point I'm getting to is I think people just forget that these are still young 19, 20-year-old guys. And, you know, guys want to get into this whole, oh, NIL. Guy just last time was driving a beater car by NIL standards. A late model Jeep Cherokee.
Didn't matter.
These are I don't want to say dumb jocks, but just guys who got to grow up. But here's the thing. You cannot argue that if it's a lesser star, and let's know there's a pecking order, Kirby can start cutting guys. You know, and just say, that's it. You're out. If you're doing 100 miles an hour on a surface street in Athens, adios.
Well,
but I don't think Kirby is going to give the media the satisfaction of letting them dictate how he's going to run his program.
I said this before. As a father, though, I do appreciate him saying, you make one mistake and your life shouldn't be over.
Right.
At that age,
it's just. And that's fair.
And it shouldn't be. And so with that, you bring him in, you hug him tight, but you spank him at the same time, and you go, hey, you got to get right. Hey,
right.
This hour is brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. We're live at Flowery Branch. It's Dukes and Bell. We got a lot more to get to. Coach is going to join us in the 6 o'clock hour, and Darnell Mooney in the 3 o'clock. Stay right there. We were talking about Kirk Cousins in the break, and we're going to let you hear what he had to say here coming up because he went on the Dan Patrick Show today. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And Mike and I were just having this discussion privately and now publicly about if he gets hot or remains in this zone that we saw at the end of the game, you know, and again, there's going to be ups and downs. But when you look at the totality of his work, Mike, and his resume, Turtle was saying in the last 5 years, this is a, you know, 35 touchdown guy, 4,000 yards. That's
the resume.
Right?
That's it.
And so we were just saying to ourselves, like, we have a chance to not only have a really good team, but we also have a chance to have a guy, Mike, that we, you know, when you talk about star power and wanting to see the team and, oh, who's the quarterback? Well, we haven't had that.
No.
That's where we've been lost the last
right.
few years.
And look, fair or unfair to Matt Ryan, you know, there's always an element of the fan base, but for whatever reason, I'm not exploring that in this conversation, didn't embrace him, but certainly did a great job. But Cousins got a lot of charisma, man. A lot of personality. You've seen it in everything he does. You know, our conversations with him, everything you see, every time he's got a microphone in front of him. And again, 4 in of his last 5 primetime games, he's now 1. So starting to change the narrative. The key, of course, would be like Matthew Stafford couldn't win the playoff game. That'll
True.
Be the big story. You know, I think when you look at Cousins also, you know, we talked talked about this, like the year that the Giants, Mark Daboll kind of made a name for himself with Daniel Jones. Vikings made Daniel Jones look like Brett Favre in that game. You know what I mean? So it's not always all on the quarterback, you know, but certainly he can change that narrative here. And hopefully this was the first step to it on Monday night in Philly.
Let's hear from him talking about when he saw Saquon drop the pass. This, again, is courtesy of Dan Patrick. As we're live at Flower Branch, we're going to talk to Coach and a couple of guests here as well today. But this is our quarterback, Kirk Cousins.
You know, I think that's what's kind of so fun about pro football is the strategy and the different options you have there. I had heard an argument for you do the sneak that they've made famous on third down and see if you can get it to a fourth and one. And then because that play is seemingly so unstoppable, just do it again on fourth down and believe that you're going to get it again. So there's an argument for just doing that sneak all the way down the field. But the play was a good play in the sense that he is open in the flat and it's a safe throw, and your odds are he's going to catch it and potentially convert, and you can ice the game. So, you know, when you don't know the future, you don't know how it's going to play out. All you can do is make your best call that you believe in and let it go from there.
Mike, we said this. I said this the other day. This is why I think Sirianni let his team down. Now, again, we can talk about all this stuff. We earned the win. We went and got it.
Right.
But if you are him and you know, to Kirk Cousins, who's the opposing quarterback, knows, dude, they get about 2.5 yards on that damn tush push. They should probably do that. It's 3rd and 3, and you say, nah, I'm going to call this instead.
Well, I mean, look, you know, just like us with Dan Quinn giving, you know, autonomy to Kyle Shanahan in that Super Bowl, I mean, Kellen Moore calls the plays. That's why people in Philadelphia say, why is Sirianni even there? He serves no purpose other than to make ultimate bad decisions. But it was Kellen Moore had the call and looked the plays there. It's funny in Philadelphia because, you know, a week ago, Saquon Barkley, he could have had 4 touchdowns in that game.
True.
In Brazil. Guy was a machine. But it's just one of those that just, yeah, if you're the Eagles lately, this is how your cookie has crumbled. But you're right. The other thing, and this is something we have to ask Zach Robinson about this, but this is something we did talk about with Arthur Smith. Remember, he gave us like the 17-minute answer. Like, if something works and it's pretty simple, why doesn't the rest of the league do it? You know? I go, is it because I think, and I said, remember at the time, I said it's ego and it's hubris.
It is.
Because offensive coordinator's like, no, I've got a better mousetrap. I'll show you how to design it. You get some big guys on the line. You put some more big guys behind them, and you push the line. It's not that complicated, but it's amazing how only one team has excelled in it and nobody else. But in a copycat league where, remember, we had Wildcat and we had all this different stuff that everybody seems to do, but they won't. Nobody else wants to try to do that.
It's a great
point.
No, it is. It's a great point. Here's Cousins talking about what went through his mind on that last drive, again, on the Dan Patrick Show.
You know, I get very methodical. I'm kind of just process-driven. So the play comes in, hey, we got to run this play. If anything, it's all game. It's, hey, guys, let's just have fun competing and let
wait,
the outcome.
Wait. That's what you say? You're just like, hey, let's compete, have some fun.
I think there's a little bit of that. Just let's not overcomplicate this. We don't need to talk about, you know, the magnitude of the moment. We don't need to talk about how John Candy's in the stands. You know, they talk about how Joe Montana said that. Like, that's all well and good, but let's just go play and find the open guy, get rid of the ball, and try to get that first down. And I think I play my best just kind of simplifying the process and just treat it like you're playing the job, the position you've always played.
I love that, man. Isn't that great?
I do. And you know what? Sometimes when you talk about it too much, like, all right, guys, you know, we got 46 seconds left. We got to go down the field and score. Come on, man. Let's just go play ball. Let's just do what we've been doing. We run this every damn day at practice. Let's just go. And sometimes when you talk about it, you get caught up in your head. I'm with him on that.
And he's talking about Super Bowl 23, the famous play down in Miami where there's a long TV timeout. Montana looks at Harris Barton and goes, H, check it out. John Candy eating popcorn, which I always love.
It's a great story. I do think you mentioned Vic Fangio. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I thought this was their mistake as well. And going into this game, I just knew it. I was just sitting there going, they're going to test it. Mike, they hardly blitzed. They hardly blitzed all game. It's one thing to say, we're going to sit back and wait in the first quarter, see what he looks like. But even in the fourth quarter, and this gets back to that last drive, 5 of 6, 70 yards, they didn't blitz. He was asked about that by Dan Patrick.
Well, so the touchdown of Darnell Mooney was cover zero. So that was an all-out blitz. So if anything, you know, when they did bring the blitz, you know, we had our biggest play of the night in terms of an explosive play. So he may have said, hey, I learned my lesson sending the pressure there. Let's not do that. And secondly, until the final drive, when they were playing more of a prevent coverage to just keep us out of the end zone, they really did have a roof on the defense, and we weren't getting many explosives throughout the game. So I would say their plan was reasonably effective outside of that cover zero and then outside of the final drive. So I wouldn't really second guess that plan. And Vic Fangio is a D coordinator I have a lot of respect for, played against a lot. He's always kind of been tough. It's been hard to find explosives. And in the first game against the Packers, they didn't blitz a ton either. So it was pretty consistent with what they've been doing.
But as we said earlier, every fan out there goes, and you've heard this for 30 years now, all the prevent defense does is prevent you from winning because it just creates – you've had a good run with your defenders in a rhythm, and then you go to something different in the last 2 minutes of the game, which it allows – hey, and we exploited it, and Kirk found it, and Kirk and Mooney were like the connection, baby.
So you know what he's saying there, Mike? I mean, this is what I get. And he's saying I trusted Darnell Moore in that moment. It's all-out blitz, right? I see my guy. He's one-on-one. There's a chance he may or may not come down with this, but I'm going to throw it.
Right.
That's what they did all camp long, guys. We've been telling you. Right. This is exactly what we've been seeing
all camp
long. The
rapport with him and Mooney.
All camp, it's been like, I'm just throwing it. And there were times where he wouldn't even see him, and Mooney would come up with the catch. So I think that's interesting just to learn now what he was thinking in that moment to say, I'm going to throw this damn ball. Now, Mooney makes a great play, and then the effort, Mike, to break the tackle. He's going to join us in the 3 o'clock hour. But he says that was the biggest play of the game, and it was an all-out blitz. And then they didn't do it anymore.
That's right. And then you saw Mooney one-on-one with the safety. Mooney goes, whoop, and that's it. And that was a huge moment. Then later on, we talked about that's when they get into that. So that preventive posture that he was talking about at the end. But, yeah, and then, and look, at the end of the day, him and Drake Leonard, we've been waiting for Drake Leonard to look like a superstar. Drake makes that amazing move, gets Darius Slay, thinking it's going to the post, makes the cut, Slay come. And Slay had a good day, let's be honest, completely out of his jock.
Yeah.
I mean, all our skill position guys, Pitts had a huge catch on that drive and the extension to move the chains to get that drive going, too.
404-726-0929, playing a little bit of our quarterback on the Dan Patrick Show.
That's my quarterback.
Today, as and you hear it, man. We don't have to sell this to you, but you hear how cool he is. You hear how relaxed he is. Like, yeah, he won the game, but this is what you get day in and day out. He is consistent in who he is, and I think that's why his teammates dig him. He's not one dude one day, and the next day you come in, he's not speaking to somebody. He's the same guy, and I think that's important when you're the quarterback of any NFL team, but specifically, Mike, one that's still trying to find its identity and kind of come along. Everybody hasn't been together for 6 or 7 years, right? Bates has been here. Grady's been here longer than anybody for the most part. It's like these guys are all coming together, and they're trying to figure it out. I cannot wait, and you said this, and we're going to talk. You know, listen, we got the rest of the week. I say that. It's Wednesday. Today it felt like Tuesday at home, but it's a Wednesday. I cannot wait to see what the atmosphere is going to be like at Mercedes-Benz.
I think it's going to be electric. I think it's going to be electric because a lot of folks that, you know, again, we know we've sold out the tickets. I don't know how many ticket brokers have season tickets, but it is what it is. But we know that a lot of folks are going to make an effort to be there because this is appointment watching with the Chiefs coming in with Patrick Mahomes, Arthur Blank getting inducted in the Ring of Honor, 2 free hot dogs, 2 bags of chips, and refills on your drink. And then if you get 4 of those cups, then you've got an Arthur Blank collector set, which you've got to get 4 of everything, Carl, whenever I go to a sporting event. But I mean, so you're going to get yourself some free tube steaks, free chips. Can't beat that. Let's watch us hopefully hang with the Chiefs. Now, again, I just think you feel buoyed by what we did up in Philly, that you're going to be in all these games. And because of some of the injuries, and we've seen, you know, Kelce hasn't gotten off to a great start. He hasn't really been a factor. I hope it doesn't happen against us. But certainly, you know, they've got some things they're working through right now.
Is she going to be here?
I'm sure she is. It's Atlanta. I can't imagine.
She's going to show up for a road game.
Does she have any concert tour right now going on, Chris?
I'm just asking. Look, Mike and I have said this. We have nothing against Taylor Swift. Show girlfriends, wives, be it.
Who cares?
I don't care.
To show Gisele Bündchen. Who cares?
I don't care. I get it. She's the biggest pop star in the world, but I'm curious. Like, okay, she's coming here?
You know, a football game, you know, it's about 3 hours, 5 minutes to watch on television, 60 minutes of action. And technically with the huddle and pre-snap, you know, there's not a lot of – I mean, the game itself is about 20 minutes. So when you get into it, do you really lose your viewing experience? It's been that much compromise?
No.
They cut to the booth or the suite where she's hanging? I've never understood people getting their meat on with that. Well, now, of course, it's gotten political, too.
Yeah,
so
people
get that attitude. Who cares?
I don't care about that.
I mean, same thing. Like, you see a big fat guy eating nachos, you know, no shirt on.
Yeah.
Wearing a barrel in a Broncos game. That ruin your experience?
No, I totally agree with you. And you know, I'm curious. Listen, for us, it's great. The more exposure,
right.
I'm all for it. If you're telling me more people are going to watch because Swifties here, so be it.
And the NFL's loving that pub, by the way. They're loving it. You know, it is what it is. But yeah, I think it's just going to be an electric atmosphere. By the way, we got a special broadcast. Carl and I, Chris, is everybody working too? I know we're doing a show 1 to 4 at Signia. Jersey Mike says there's a really cool bar on the 4th floor. That's that brand new high rise hotel right
next. That's where we'll be, right?
On North Side. Yeah, right. So between like your Mercedes Benz backyard, Home Depot backyard, and then the Signia is right there. You and I will be up on the 4th floor on Sunday, 1 to 4.
Yeah, it's going to be a good time. And listen, there'll be a lot of buildup. We'll break
it's
down a lot of different things.
On 4.
Is that what it's called?
The Nest on 4.
We're going to break down a lot of different things, but
it's
going to
be the college games of the weekend, too.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's going to be a big day, man. And, you know, we talked about showing up in these primetime games. I was saying, you know, it was part of my deal going into Monday night. Show up. Give us something to build on.
Right.
Okay, well, they did.
Don't you like being one of those? Because we're hoping this leads to us being one of those brands.
Right.
Become one of those teams that we watch and we envy. We envy so much when I watch the highlights on NFL Network or on Sunday Night Football, and you're like, oh, man. And look at the last 2 years, man. Marcus friggin' Mariota just the grenade toss you and I had to witness. Poor Ritter in over his head. And now we've got a guy that if he can get healthy and be 100%, even not 100%, the guy just gave one of your great victories of all time.
All right, guys. We're live at Flowery. Coming up, as we mentioned, Darnell Mooney's going to join us. We also got to go around the league. There's a lot of stuff going on around the NFL, and we'll get to all of that and more coming up here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Odyssey.com.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.